Right, well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. And what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord today. So I'm going to do my usual thing and say, why not turn to the person next to you and welcome them to church? And if you've already welcomed the person next to you, find someone else to welcome, because I'm sure there's someone you haven't welcomed to church yet. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone. And welcome also to those joining us online once again. We pray that you are blessed as you worship with us today. Yes, Lord God, we do. We thank you for today. We thank you, Father God, for the privilege that it is to be here in your house. Father, speak to every one of us. Reveal, Lord God, something new, or remind us of things that we need to be prompted in again. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today, as was mentioned earlier, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. A passage that I'm sure many of us are going to be quite familiar with. It goes like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's the word of God. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, some people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. Have you ever heard that phrase? Yeah? Never heard it? Some people have. Well, it's commonly attributed to Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., an American physician and poet from the 19th century. The same sentiment, or a similar one, is also found in a song that was written by Johnny Cash. The criticism is that some Christians, some believers, are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. You're so focused on heaven that you don't do anything on earth. And while it's a turn of phrase that is quite catchy, and you think, oh, that sounds good, it catches your attention, and it comes across as something really concerning. I don't want to be too heavenly minded. It's meant to be a warning against becoming detached from reality, that we forget our responsibilities here. But can you really be someone who is a believer that is too heavenly minded? Someone that's too focused on God that you don't pay attention to the things around you? Because I think the word presents a rather different reality. It doesn't align with that phrase. The Bible insists that believers are focused on heavenly things. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Because loving God, pursuing God, does not make one less capable or less concerned with the practical affairs of the world. It doesn't make you pay less attention to what's going on around you. It actually makes you pay more attention. Being heavenly minded does not result in you isolating yourself from the world, ignoring everyday issues, ignoring everyday people, or declining to be involved at all. It is, in fact, just the opposite. Being heavenly minded results in attempting to please God, in pursuing God. And he is the one who's given us work to do in this world. And if he's given us work to do in this world, being focused on him is never going to make us less effective in the world. Because we are called, as we heard, to be ambassadors. Because when you look at the state of the world today, There's a lot of division. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of bitterness between people, neighbours, family members. And there are a lot of people who are lost and searching. So it makes me think of that phrase in a slightly different way. It makes me think sometimes, maybe even a lot of the time, that phrase is unfortunately the wrong way round. Because our problem is actually opposite. That we are so often earthly minded that we have forgotten what our heavenly purpose is. We have become so focused on everyday issues that we don't invite the one who can solve them into the situation. We've become so focused on our own everyday problems, everyday difficulties, the storms of life that come. We're so focused on seeing the cloud and there's the rain and now I'm in the middle of a storm that we don't say, God, come and be with me, because you are with me. I know I can walk in the authority that you've given me, so this storm is not going to bother me. We don't bring heaven into the situations that we're in. So as I say, that phrase I think is the wrong way round. We are too earthly minded sometimes, or a lot of the time, that we've forgotten what our heavenly purpose is. We've become so assimilated into the culture, we've become so ingrained, integrated, we walk so well with the world that we've lost the distinct identifiers that makes us people of the kingdom. And I know Pastor Honesty has preached before about being ambassadors of Christ, that we should remember who our King is, who we take our authority from. Not people, not worldly governments, but heavenly government. The authority we walk under. And, you know, even in the last couple of weeks, as we've been hearing about identity, living those beatitudes, and how to bear the image of God in this broken world, because we are made in his image. Today, it's going to be another reminder. A reminder about our identity. We're called to be ambassadors. That we're called not to reflect the world back at it, but to show the world what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about what it means to represent heaven right here in this earth. Knowing Jesus means we aren't just waiting for a bus to take us to glory. We stay in the world and we go, okay, that's it. When Jesus comes, there we go. We're called to be the evidence of that glory to a world that is desperately thirsty for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us the roadmap for this mission. He shows us that representing heaven isn't about escaping the world. It's about being transformed within it so that we can transform it. So that through God working through us, through his Holy Spirit being outpoured, through us reflecting the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives, the world can go, I want that. Can go, well, good news for you. Because for you that Jesus died. And you can know him for yourself and be reconciled to the Father. So Paul begins in verse 17 with the foundational truth that if you've ever attended a baptism, then I'm sure you've heard before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it is with that reality, with that foundation, that we know you cannot represent a country, you cannot represent a people, you cannot represent something that you do not belong to. You cannot reflect the light of the kingdom that you haven't entered. That representation begins with the regeneration. It begins with that first step of surrendering so that you are in Christ, and in Christ you are a new creation. Before we can show the world what heaven looks like, we must have that little taste of heaven in our own hearts, in our own souls. And so I just need to say this, that it connects with last week. And knowing that we're made in the image of God, if you walk according to an identity that someone on earth gives you, maybe it's you listen to a lie that the enemy has told someone to say about you, that you're not good enough, that you won't amount to anything, that you're not skilled enough to do this particular job, that you didn't come from a good enough family. Whatever it is, don't listen to it. Don't listen, because your identity is not in what that person says. It's in what God says about you. Your identity comes from the one who made you. Your identity comes not from the person who looks at you and goes, ugh. Your identity doesn't come from them. Don't listen to what they have to say. Because they're not there to help you grow. They're not there. They're not the one who's going to save you. Jesus will be the one to save you. So take your identity from the one who made you. The one who knows you better than anyone else on earth. Than anyone else ever could. And that is your Heavenly Father. Take your identity from him, not the world. Become that new creation that knowing Jesus allows you to be. The pathway that the Heavenly Father created for each and every one of us. He didn't create it just for you. He didn't create it just for you. He didn't create it just for you. He created it for every one of us. And everyone that surrounds us. All of the houses that are around here. Everyone who's still in their beds. Everyone who's maybe watching TV. Everyone who's just deciding, oh, maybe I'll have breakfast now. He died for them. Jesus died for them. Amen. Jesus died so that they could be reconciled to the Father. And they are waiting, some of them, just to have that glimpse of glory shown to them by us representing heaven on earth. That is the ministry that we're called to. That is the mission that we're called to. It's not you have to go to a different country to do it. It's not that you have to go to a different part of this country to do it. It's not that you have to go anywhere to do it. You just have to take part in the mission that you're called to be a part of. And that is knowing Christ and displaying Christ to others. As a new creation, you are therefore not defined by your past mistakes. And when Paul says that we're a new creation, he isn't talking about a New Year's resolution, which so often end up as temporary resolutions. They so often end up as, I'll do it maybe for the 1st or 2nd and 3rd of January, the 1st and 2nd, 3rd week of January, and then by the end of January, New Year's resolution, what was that? I don't remember, I don't know. No, this new identity is something that comes and it sticks, it stays. There is nothing that can come back and say, but what about this? What about that? The enemy will try. He will try, but it's meaningless because you are a new creation. Those old identifiers, those old things, they don't apply to you anymore. So we don't need to walk in them. This is a total, complete, a radical, a supernatural overhaul of your heart. And this birth, this new birth, is a necessity. It does need to happen. When we come to the foot of the cross, we repent of our sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ. Something extraordinary happens. The old things, the old grudges, the old selfish ambitions, the old identity rooted in this world, rooted in the dirt, passes away. To represent heaven on earth, we must first realize that we are no longer of this earth in the spiritual sense. Essentially, we become citizens of glory, living in a foreign land. The earth is that foreign land. If you want to bring peace, and that's the peace of heaven, to your workplace, you must first have the Prince of Peace living in your heart. If you want to bring the joy of heaven into your family, into your home, then you must first be filled with the Spirit that produces that joy. Being an ambassador of Christ starts that miracle of new birth. And I mentioned earlier that God has a purpose for us to fulfill here on earth. That he doesn't save us and then says, okay, that's it. Sit and be idle, do nothing. He has a purpose. He has something for us to do. He wants us to partner with him, to be a part of his plan. And as we move into verses 18 and 19, Paul explains exactly what that plan for us to take part in is. He gives us a purpose. He gives us the business that we're to do here on earth, partnering with God. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If we are to represent heaven, we must understand the primary characteristic of heaven's king. He is a reconciler. Jesus came for you, for me. He came for the world. Thinking about that gap between a holy God and a sinful me, a holy God and a sinful man, it was a chasm no human effort could bridge. But heaven didn't stay distant. Heaven came down. God, again, had that plan. He said, I will send my son Jesus Christ. Heaven come down to be the gap, to bridge it, to bring the sinful man, wash away the wrongdoing, wash away the sin, being forgiven, to then be able to be reconciled, brought back into that place with the Heavenly Father. God reached across the divide. He tore the veil in two so that we may enter in. He didn't come with a list of grievances, with a list of, oh, by the way, it's going to take quite a lot for you to be forgiven because you did this, 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 this. And look, the list is still going, still going, still going, still going. These are the things you haven't done yet. He said, no, here is my son, here is the cross, and here is his blood that covers you. Jesus came to pay for the sin himself as a sinless person. So to be someone who represents heaven on earth, to be someone like Jesus, means we have to be reconcilers. We have to be that ambassador that carries the presence. We have to be people who are willing to bridge the gap. Not people who will build a wall. Not people who will say, no, 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 you can't be forgiven. But people who say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus for your. And in a world that becomes increasingly more expert at cancelling people, at holding grudges, at telling people the big list of things that they've done wrong, a big list of things that I think you've done wrong, expert at creating hostility, even more division, all the while professing to be all about unity, a citizen of heaven will stand out by practicing reconciliation. By being someone who feels divine, who bridges gaps. So how do we do this? We do it by showing the same mercy that we have received ourselves. When someone wrongs you, the earthly response will be to strike back. to make sure you hold on to a bitterness and a grudge. But the heavenly representation is to offer forgiveness. When you see brokenness in the community around us, in your neighbors, maybe it's racial tension, maybe economic disparity, maybe it's a family in crisis, don't stand on the sidelines. Don't join in with mocking voices. Don't join in with gossip. Don't contribute to the broken society. Be someone who will stand in the gap. Be someone who is like Jesus. Can we honestly say that we really do that? Can we think back and go, yes, I did that, and I have been doing that? Or have there been times where we've missed out? Have there been times where we've gone, I'll just keep quiet because I don't want to cause more trouble? What more trouble? Bridging the gap's not going to cause more trouble. It's going to make less trouble for yourself and for everyone else. Like we heard a couple of weeks ago in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Not just peacekeepers. For to keep peace, there has to be peace in the first place. So we need to be peacemakers. But do you know what it says next? Anyone remember from 2 weeks ago? Or have you read it recently again? At Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And last week, does anyone remember the opening scripture? You didn't expect a quiz, did you? You've got your notes. Excellent. You can look it up for us. Does anyone remember what that opening scripture was? You didn't write it down. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Romans 8, 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Are you going to step into the gap? By the grace of God, we will. We carry the word of reconciliation. We carry it through our lived experience of getting to know Jesus ourselves, because he's the one who bridged the gap for us. And we're only called to emulate what we've seen him do. We're only called to go, Jesus, I've seen you do it. You've given me that example. Let me also do the same. So our actions, as well as our words, can and should tell people, you don't have to be an enemy of God. You don't have to remain in a worldly identity. There is a way back home. There is a way to the Father. To represent heaven is to be a walking, breathing invitation to be right with God. And right with one another. And this leads us to what is really the heart of the text in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. You know, over the times that Pastor Andy has been saying ambassadors and repeating that word over and over, I've really grown to like that word, to love that word, ambassador. Because every time now I hear it, I perk up. I go, ambassador, yes. Because it does carry a weight. It carries a significance, a position. It speaks to a position of power. You know, it's a word that's carried that weight for a long time. And today we still have it. Ambassador, they're a high-ranking official, you know, and they're sent from one kingdom, one nation, into another. They live in that foreign nation. But what's special is that they do not follow the foreign country's rules. They do not assimilate into wherever they find themselves. They follow their home country's rules. They don't speak their own opinions. They speak the words of their king, their head of state. But we like king. It's a good word, king. An ambassador's job is to reflect the culture of their home. If you go into the British Embassy in any foreign land, you expect to find British values, British speech, British protection. If you're an ambassador of heaven, people should find heavenly values in you. They should find a culture of love, a culture of truth, a culture of sacrifice, a culture of holiness. Church, you are heaven's embassy in your neighborhood. You are where people can come and see safety. When your neighbors look at you, they should be getting a travel brochure. They should be getting a big download for the kingdom of God. A big advertisement, a big show of this is what heaven is like. And I also notice in the verse the tone that Paul uses when he says, as though God were pleading through us. He says, we implore you. This isn't cold, bureaucratic, or detached. This is a passionate, heartfelt plea. A father who is ready to receive his children with open arms. Representing heaven doesn't mean we walk around with our noses in the air thinking that we're holier than thou, that we're better than everyone around us, simply because we represent heaven. It means we walk around with tears in our eyes and compassion in our hearts because we know the beauty of the kingdom that we come from. And we want everyone else to come and see it for themselves. Being an ambassador means that when you speak, you aren't just sharing a political opinion or a personal preference. You are representing the king. And for us, as ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of heaven, we are representing the King of Kings. So ask yourself this. Does your speech sound like heaven? Does your integrity reflect the king's character? When you're out and about doing shopping, your social media, when you're sat behind the wheel of your car in a car park, otherwise known as the M25, are you representing the King of Kings? Are you representing his grace, his love, and mercy? Or are you falling into representing the world? What are you showing people? So how do we practically represent heaven on earth this week? And then hopefully every day after? It's done by knowing Jesus and following in his footsteps. First, through sacrificial love. In heaven, there is no selfishness. When we put the needs of others above our own, we are bringing a slice of heaven to earth. Just like Jesus himself, who came to take our sin, to take away our wrongdoing. Jesus, the man who washed his disciples' feet, the one who wanted to spend time with tax collectors, interact with lepers, and all the outcasts of society. Are we going to take that as the example and follow in the footsteps? when you share food with someone who's hungry, when you help an elderly neighbor carry things, even if it makes you late, when you give generously, you are showing the world the economy of heaven. And this is an economy that is based on grace, not greed. Second, we do it through unwavering trust, truth. Heaven is a place of absolute light and truth. In a world that says my truth and your truth, we represent heaven by standing firmly and lovingly on the word of God, the truth. Not my truth, not your truth, not a truth, but the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We represent the King by saying what he has said. And yes, that does mean we have to do it even when it makes us unpopular. And thirdly, we do it through gospel proclamation. It's the greatest way to represent heaven. It's to tell people how to get there. We are imploring people to be reconciled to God, saying, don't stay in sin. Don't stay in a broken world with a broken identity. You can join the kingdom of heaven. We represent heaven best when we point people to the cross of Jesus Christ, the only door to the kingdom. And so I'd like to read today's passage again to help emphasize the call the identity of new creation places on our life. But this time I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. And also I'm going to include a verse earlier. So I'm going to read from verse 16 and to verse 20. So from now on regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in him by faith in him as Saviour, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And the old things, the previous moral, spiritual condition, passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable. Thus, the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to him. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, but cancelling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is, restoration to favour with God. So we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us, we, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So, HDB Church, we are not citizens of this world. We're not citizens of this world who are trying to get into heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We are stationed as ambassadors. So the question for us today is simple. What kind of report are you giving of your home country? If the people in your life, whether that be your children, your co-workers, or your friends, or other family members, if those people only knew about God based on your representation of him, what would they think that God is like? What would they think that heaven is like? Would they think that God is always angry and distant? Or would they see that he is a God of reconciliation? Would they see him pleading with them to come home? And here is a challenge for each and every one of us. A challenge to essentially examine our passport. If you have never been born again, if you have never become that new creation in Christ, you cannot represent him. And so if that is you today, I invite you to come to the altar, to repent and to receive the gift of new life, and to become a citizen of heaven today. I also ask us to audit our representation. This week, each of us, we can identify one area of our life that actually looks a little bit too much like the world and not enough like heaven. Is it your temper? Is it your stewardship of the resources that God has given you? Is it your speech? Whatever it is, take that to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Heavenly Father and ask him to help you live as an ambassador of Christ. Not just that inward reflection, but also the outward speech. Even more so, before this week is over, find one person to whom you can extend the word of reconciliation. Tell someone that God is not counting their sins against them if they come to Christ. Plead with them. Implore them. Show them Christ through your actions. Church, let us not go out of this place just as church goers, as people who tick a box saying, I've been in a building for a certain amount of time this week. But as people who understand that we have a purpose as ambassadors of Christ, we are reconcilers and carriers of his presence. Let's live in such a way that people look at our lives and say, I don't know where they're from, but I want to go there. I want to experience that for myself. Let us advance the kingdom by representing heaven on earth properly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege that it is to be accepted, to be reconciled, to be brought into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord God, that it is a privilege too to represent your kingdom, to be ambassadors of Christ in this world. We thank you that first, Lord God, you were the one who sent your Son to reconcile us to you. While we were sinners, you sent him, Jesus, to die. Not because of anything that he'd done, for he was blameless, without fault. But he went through. Through with your plan, not you. By having his blood shed for our sin. Thank you, Father God. Forgive us, Father, for the times where we have been poor representatives of heaven. For those times, Father, where we have not spoken as we should have spoken. Have lashed out maybe in anger, irritation, frustration. Forgive us, Father God, where we have not bridged the gap. Where instead we have brought irritation to others and maybe widened divisions. Forgive us, Lord God. Father, to in the future, going forward, Lord God, from this moment, to be the people that would bridge the gap. Have mercy, Father, as well for times when we have blended in. The times where we have thought that we could get by being quiet, saying nothing, when actually you are calling us to stand up, to stand out, to bring heaven into a worldly situation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, Lord God, and make us bold ambassadors. And help us to live as heaven representatives, to speak like heaven, to love like heaven, and to point others toward the hope of glory, to point others toward you, Lord Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.